Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we got to share this with you. I know a lot of you guys here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Man, there's some great folks that join us all 4 hours practically every single day. And if you miss a second of it, you go back and listen on our Montana Talks podcast. By the way, the Montana Talks podcast, not only can you get it through our Montana Talks app, but it's on Spotify as well. So see, you got a couple of different options there for you. The app is great because then you get our news and commentary pieces that we share on our Montana Talks website as well. But I want to play a little bit of what Governor Greg Gianforte had to say earlier this week on the show. When he joined us, we got a bunch of phone calls that we snuck into that conversation as well. I think the most important thing we actually talked with him about is these ballot initiatives, these constitutional initiatives. And he agrees with me, and I think he agrees with you as well. Vote no on every single one of these ballot initiatives, these statewide ballot initiatives here in Montana this fall. It's basically a massive out-of-state left-wing mega donor cash that's coming in and trying to mess with our elections and trying to mess with our Montana Constitution. Just say no to every single one of these. You get a chance to, you early risers get a chance to hear a little bit about what the governor had to say here. Let me see. Speaking of our Montana Talks website, man, what a fast-moving hour with David Noble Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Go back, listen to that one on the podcast if you missed it. We got to like the 7:50 break and we hadn't even done a woke update yet. And we barely even touched on that one because we were covering so much ground. But the woke update yesterday that David Noble shared with us was crazy. And we've got a story on our Montana Talks website that is the woke update that David Noble shared with us on Thursday. Here's the headline. It's from Nick Christensen out of our sister station in Missoula. Sharp metal objects found embedded in tires in Missoula. Now, I'm sure a lot of people in Missoula see that story and they're like, man, what the heck? What's going on? I can't believe this. Who are these punks putting, sharp metal objects in our tires, costing us a lot of money, a lot of headache, headaches and things like that. But, the part of this story, now the Missoula County Public Information Officer, I think, shared some information on, well, here's what we know. But here's the deal. Why would this be happening? Why would this be happening in Missoula of all places? Well, I think we all have a good suspicion on what is happening and why it is happening in Missoula. Remember, it was about a year ago plus. Remember when all these tires were being slashed in Europe? And it was these eco-terrorists, these environmental wackos who were attacking, vehicles, not just, normal vehicles, but electric vehicles too. They think they're all bad. And those environmental wackos in Europe said, we have activists in several countries all over the world. Missoula is the epicenter of environmental wackos in Montana. So no surprise, they'd be slashing tires there potentially.
Securing America.
A House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee hearing Thursday centered on the threat Iran poses to Americans both abroad and at home. Tennessee Republican Congressman Tim Burchett.
Iran-backed militias in Iraq and Syria have launched over 170 attacks on American service members who are stationed in the Middle East.
Former Deputy National Security Advisor Elliot Abrams testified that Iran's military ambitions, which are close to being realized, cannot be dismissed.
What would they be doing if they had a nuclear umbrella and felt they could be even bolder?
While witness Carrie Filippetti, the director of the Vandenberg Coalition, warned,
it's clear the Iranians are determined to carry out attacks in the United States.
Kirsten Fontenrose, the former senior director for the Gulf at the National Security Council, also added,
the only domain in which we are not in a low simmer war with Iran right now is space, and that is likely temporary.
Kevin Lutzke, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay from around 70 in Bozeman to the upper 70s in Billings. Clear and quiet for tonight, with temperatures headed back in the upper 30s in Bozeman to the mid-40s in Billings. Then on Saturday with sunshine, high temperatures will range from the lower to middle 60s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right. Speaking of the woke update from yesterday about these tires that are having sharp objects embedded in them, until a full investigation is concluded, you can't say, yeah, this is what's happening in Missoula. But boy, it sure seems like that's what's happening in Missoula, doesn't it? The home of the wacko environmentalists, that's the epicenter, unfortunately, in Missoula. And so it wouldn't be a surprise if it was these environmental wacktivists that are targeting vehicles in Missoula with these sharp metal objects. The other woke update that we could have gotten to yesterday, I had this one printed up in my stack of stuff, but we didn't get to it here. The DailyCaller.com has a couple of different headlines here where your taxpayer dollars, thanks, John Tester, your taxpayer dollars are pushing this radical left-wing LGBTQ cultural Marxist agenda in other countries. Let's see. Here we go. Feds dump millions in one Latin American country to fund sex changes and LGBTQ activism. So think about, we're $36 trillion in debt. Think about all the problems facing this country right now. John Tester is giving your money to illegal aliens and to these other countries. And then he's pushing a radical left-wing agenda. Our government shouldn't be paying for sex change operations in America, let alone in Latin America. But yeah, in a Guatemalan-based activist organization received a $2 million grant from the USAID to both engage in LGBTQ activism and to help provide gender-affirming care. There's another headline from the Daily Caller from yesterday. State Department paying for a play where God is bisexual and communists are good in a bid to push LGBT rights abroad. Where is this one at? This is in North Macedonia, where the State Department is using your taxpayer dollars to push this crazy agenda. Absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. Or chopping them off, to be frank. Hey, it's only 6 in the morning here, but my goodness. All right, so there's another woke update for you here. All right, let's see. Let's jump right into it. Governor Greg Gianforte joined me earlier this week, and I started with a question from one of our listeners. Somebody messaged us on the Montana Talks app and said, hey, what does the governor think of these ballot initiatives, especially, I think they referenced CI-126.
Yeah, I'm voting no on the ranked choice voting. Here's why. Basically, this would do away with partisan primaries. It would be a jungle primary with the top four vote getters going on to the general election. Here's Alaska tried this. Now they're trying to get rid of it. You end up with ridiculous results. Here's what could happen. Let's say, four people proceed to the general election. Three of them are Republicans, one's a Democrat. Well, the Republican vote gets split three ways and the Democrat gets elected.
And you effectively lose the representation of the will of the people because of some crazy election system. I also believe that it would lead to more power of special interest groups who would then interfere in this crazy type of primary election system. And then CI-128, I know we've already heard your position on that. And this is a radical abortion initiative using very deceptive
of language. But I thought what was very interesting, the Montana Family Foundation reported on a legal analysis conducted by former University of Montana constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson. And it's very interesting because he made the point that why is this supposedly about women, but yet they don't have women specifically mentioned. They don't use gender specific language in this abortion measure. And it basically leads us all to believe that this is about much more than even just a radical abortion initiative.
Well, you're right. It's poorly worded. It's misleading. It says that once a baby reaches viability, you need someone in the medical profession to approve the abortion. But the way it's worded, it could be the secretary of Planned Parenthood who authorizes the abortion for any reason. And it's to put something in the Montana Constitution that would authorize abortion up through and including the moment of birth, it's just not the right thing. I believe life is precious. It should be protected. Reasonable people can disagree on when you draw the line. But when the baby is viable, we should not be performing abortions.
All right, there we go. Yeah, that was what Governor Greg Gianforte had to say about some of those ballot initiatives. And, yeah, basically sounds like he agrees with you and you and I here, which is just say no to every single one of these radical proposals. If anything, because of the fact that you've got nothing but a bunch of, you know, out-of-state left-wing mega donors that are coming into Montana trying to change Montana is basically what they are doing. All right, let's see. What else did we talk with the governor about? Man, we took a bunch of phone calls. We started with the ballot initiatives. Then we moved into some other topics and with some callers mentioned in particular. Oh, I asked him about his comfortable lead, nearly 20-point lead in the governor's race against his Democrat gun-grabbing opponent, old Fussy Bussy. He had kind of a funny response to that. Plus, anyway, Bill in Belgrade asked a great question and much more. Some more highlights, and then we'll get into the other big news of the day, your phone calls and more.
Bullet points.
I'm Eben Brown. Another attempt on the life of former President Donald Trump is leading to more questions, especially concerning the vast and expensive apparatus charged with protecting him. Unlike the Pennsylvania incident, the would-be assassin in Florida was captured alive and his firearm recovered at the scene. Law enforcement described it as an AK-47-style rifle. But in federal court on Monday, the two federal charges initially filed were possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and possession of a firearm with serial number obliterated. The suspected gunman has a prior record, meaning he should not have been able to pass a background check, and it is highly unlikely a licensed and reputable firearms dealer sold him a rifle with its serial number destroyed. It is likely he acquired it through underground means and not in a way that even enhanced background checking would have caught or red flag laws would have stopped. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem joining Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy with rallies across Montana this weekend. We've got the details for tickets and more, MontanaTalks.com.
News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblonde. While I spent most of this week treading water as 4 inches of rain fell across central Montana on the 50th Montana Angus Tour, our network's Russell Nimitz joined ranchers who utilize public lands here across the west in Grand Junction, Colorado, for the Public Lands Council annual meeting. He shares an update from Colorado's western slope with us here this morning.
Lane, public lands grazing is the economic backbone of countless rural communities in 11 western states. And the Public Lands Council is working hard to make sure it stays that way. This week here in Grand Junction, Tim Canterbury from Salida, Colorado, took the reins as the new PLC president and talked with me about his goals.
Well, first of all, what an honor. And for me to be able to stand here and represent public lands users across the western United States, what an honor. Truly looking forward to the next 2 years. And it all comes down to one thing. You know, most of us in the livestock world, I don't care what state you're from, we've been around a long time. Multi-generational families. It's not about us. It's about the opportunity for the next generation to make the decision whether they want to stay or go.
Now, we also want to thank outgoing PLC President Mark Rober from Colorado for his past couple of years of service, and also congratulate Nevada Department of Agriculture Director and Rancher J.J. Goycochea for receiving this year's PLC President's Award, and Dick Loper for receiving this year's Friend of PLC Award. Very deserving. Lane, with that, I'll go ahead and send it back to you.
Hey, thanks for that update, Russell. And again, the Public Lands Council has been representing cattle and sheep producers who hold public lands grazing permits out in our nation's capital, being a voice for them each and every day.
Experience the ultimate rush. There's only one sport this dangerous. There's only one sport this fast. There's only one place where it all happens. The Mile 4 Rodeo. It's three heart-pounding rodeo events with the greatest athletes in the arena. Join us October 11th through 12th at Metro Park for two electrifying performances. Secure your tickets now at MetroPark.com. Get ready. This is the Mile 4 Rodeo.
Walter Schweitzer, president of Montana Farmers Union, inviting you to attend this year's convention, October 17th through the 19th, in Whitefish at the Grouse Mountain Lodge. Our keynote speaker this year will be Zach Ducheneau, administrator for the USDA's Farm Service Agency. Come cultivate community and debate grassroots policy that will support family farms and ranches at the Montana Farmers Union's annual convention. Register at MontanaFarmersUnion.com.
There was a lot of anticipation building for the September 1 USDA Cattle on Feed report coming out this afternoon, with a significant focus with on-feed and placement data. Analysts are divided in pre-report projections on placements, ranging anywhere from a decrease of 3.2% to an increase of 2.3%. Despite last month's placements being up 6% year-over-year, hot weather and lower feeder cattle prices likely dampened August sales, suggesting placements may be steady or slightly lower. However, a notable rise in Mexican feeder cattle imports, up 23% from last year, could impact these expectations. Again, the market is anxiously awaiting the report, hopefully for stability without surprises in that data coming out later this afternoon. I'm Lane Northlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we also talked with Governor Gianforte about his race for governor. I know, even though his opponent is polling worse than even Kamala Harris is polling in Montana, it's still an important race, of course, and so we want to get his take on that. And some of you early risers here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, or folks coming off the late night shift, probably didn't get a chance to hear that, so we'll get to that here in a second. First, though, Nancy and Roundup calling in on a very important topic. Nancy, yeah, we talked yesterday a little bit about this SAVE Act. Speaker Johnson and House Republicans were trying to force a vote to get the SAVE Act attached to a spending bill. That's the bill that would ensure that that non-citizens are not voting in our elections, which is so important right now. But 14 Republicans teamed up with the Democrats and voted against that legislation. So here we go again.
You're right, and I'm very, very disappointed, and I am not happy. We're seeing what we used to call them the Crazy Eight. We can't do that any longer because Matt Rosendale retired, resigned. So we've got this group of seven people.
Well, he's still there.
This guy, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who voted against this act also. Now, what I want to explain here is that Mike Johnson, just like Kevin McCarthy, his position has been weakened. He's pushed into a corner now. They have forced him to negotiate with Chuck Schumer, the Democrat Party. And in the meantime, these illegals are registering. They have registered at the border. We know Border Patrol have found flyers that have told these people where to go to register to vote in Spanish. It's a mess, Aaron. I'm very, very concerned. And I know their thoughts on the budget. I agree. We are in so in debt, we're never going to climb out of it. But this time around, they should have went with Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, and got this in, because we can always negotiate later once President Trump gets back into the White House. They can cut the budget. They can slash these welfare programs for the illegals and help bring our debt further down. But I am so shocked and disappointed. I just wish for once that they would go get along with the Speaker and get something done so we can move ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we all agree. We don't like these temporary spending bills, but a temporary spending bill is better than a long-term worse spending bill. But we'd like to see Republicans unite and fight for much lower spending. But let's be honest, they don't have the numbers nor the unity to unite on that fight. You got a few folks over here, a few folks over there within the Republican caucus. And so they don't have the numbers nor the unity to stand up and fight through a government shutdown fight. So that's why they're trying to avoid a government shutdown fight. But this would have been an opportunity to force a vote. And this story, I had a story here. I know, but if you go to thedailywire.com, there is a story. I thought I had printed it up, but there was a story talking about basically the threat of non-citizens voting in our elections. And a new nonpartisan watchdog group released a report showing how many non-citizens have been illegally registered to vote already. They've been uncovering this all across the country. It's a dailywire.com story. I thought I had printed that up, but I must not have. But either way, check it out, dailywire.com. Back to Governor Greg Gianforte, our conversation with the governor. Let's talk now about his race for reelection.
You know, your race in particular, you know, it's kind of funny because we've got the most important U.S. Senate race in the country, obviously the presidential race. We've got these critical Supreme Court elections in Montana. So, but your race, it looks like you have a very comfortable lead, almost a 20-point lead. In fact, your opponent, the gun control candidate, Ryan Bussey, is polling even worse than Kamala Harris, according to the AARP. I saw that he finally caved and finally released his tax returns, and now a debate is scheduled. Did you find anything interesting from what was released in his tax returns? I thought it wasn't very specific information, because we know he was paid by the state of California to testify in support of their gun grab there. So I wonder if either the AP didn't report a lot of the details, or if he left it deliberately vague.
Well, I'm glad he finally got on the transparency train. I mean, this has been standard stakes for every candidate for governor. I mean, Brian Schweitzer released his tax returns, Steve Bullock, Mike Cooney. I've released 17 years. It's part of being in the public square. Why he refused initially to release that information is not clear, but Aaron, let's be clear. I'm running on my record. I promised the people of Montana two things: more good-paying jobs and protect our way of life. I was pleased over Labor Day to report that Montana is one of only two states in the country now where wage growth over the last 4 years has outpaced inflation. That's good news for Montana workers. Our pro-jobs, pro-family, pro-business policies are working. We have more people at work in Montana than ever before. And we've been able to protect our constitutional rights, including our Second Amendment. I have an A rating from the NRA. My opponent has an F rating from the NRA. The contrast could not be starker.
All right. There you go. What the governor had to say about his reelection effort and more. Full audio with Governor Greg Gianforte on the Montana Talks podcast. I think, what was that, from Wednesday? Is that Wednesday on the show? I think it was from Wednesday. Anyway, in the 9 o'clock hour. Like I say, you can find it on the Montana Talks app or even Spotify. Podcast players like Spotify have it on there as well. Richard in Jordan, next up on the phone lines. Plus, I found that Daily Wire story that I was looking for, so I'll share that one about the non-citizens registering to vote.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. With another federal government shutdown looming, Montana Senator Steve Daines says the budget process has completely collapsed in both chambers. And he says his constituents here at home don't like the lack of fiscal discipline. In a floor speech yesterday, Daines faulted leaders of both parties for failing to follow the 50-year-old Budget Control Act and even passing a resolution to start work on spending.
Without this roadmap, Congress inevitably finds itself in a spending train wreck. And our constituents, by default, have little say in how their tax dollars are spent. That's exactly what has happened year after year after year, 27 consecutive years, in fact.
Daines says Congress has enacted all 12 of the appropriations bills just four times in that half century. The popular Highline Trail in Glacier National Park is closed after a 35-year-old hiker tangled with a bear Thursday. Rangers say the man who was with the party had non-life-threatening injuries, but they've shut down the trail between Haystack Butte and Granite Park Chalet. They aren't sure whether the bear was a black or a grizzly when the hikers came across it at the Grinnell Glacier Overlook. Campbell County, Wyoming fire officials now saying five homes and a total of 36 structures were lost when the short draw fire erupted and roared north across the Montana border last week. Fire crews are hoping to get complete containment on the blaze later today. The first of Montana's ballots are going in the mailbox today before coming back to the ballot box for the November election. Secretary of State Christy Jacobson says the ballots for military overseas are being sent today, and then absentee ballots go out in mid-October.
September 20th, military ballots will be sent, and absentee voters will receive their ballots. They'll be mailed on October 11th. So the election is soon going to be underway, and we've done, and our county officials have done a great job getting all of the work done to prepare for the election.
With the presidential election, Jacobson says it's best to get all your registration squared away as soon as you can. This is the Montana State News Network.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for greatest of all time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care would love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
So this was funny. I was chatting with our friends Mark and Paul down the hall. They're known as the Breakfast Flakes. And they said, hey, Aaron, Susie Hedlund's dropping by. What do you know about Susie Hedlund? I said, oh, she's great. She got her start in the schools in Grass Range. And her husband is the number four walleye fisherman in the state of Montana. Oh, well, there you go. What else do you need to know? That was their response. But, yeah, Susie Hedlund's going to drop by. Plus, we'll have open phones on Friday's Montana Talks for you statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I don't know if we got something going on with the printer this morning, because I had some Fox News radio stories, summaries that I printed up, and some other things here. Whatever. That's all right. I can do my own summary. I don't need their printed up one anyway, I guess. But real quickly here, before I get to Richard and Jordan, the Daily Wire story. The Daily Wire story, let me just give you a quick summary of that one here. Let's see. Study says millions of non-citizens likely to vote in the 2024 election. As many as 27% of non-citizens are illegally registered to vote. Just facts. a nonprofit research institute found that about 10% to 27% of non-citizen adults in the U.S. are now illegally registered to vote. That's at thedailywire.com. And a 2014 study found that 81% of non-citizens who cast votes in 2008 did so for Democrats. Now, to the left-wing conspiracy theorists that are out there that'll say, oh, come on, that never happens. It actually happened in Dodson, Montana, of all places. Dodson, Montana. You had a mayoral race, a race for mayor that was decided by two votes. And what did we find out 2 months after that election? There were two non-citizens who voted in that mayoral election. They were from the Philippines. I think they were working as school teachers up there. And so there you go. A case right here in Montana recently where non-citizens voted in the elections. And, of course, 2 months after the fact, oh, sorry, too late to change the election results, too late to do a tie-breaking vote deal, you know. My goodness. Richard in Jordan, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you.
Good morning, sir. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, as always. Hey,
I've got a very important issue that I want to talk about, and if we have time, I would like to just touch on the abortion bill that's coming up.
Yeah, go for it.
Very important. My main point is voting. Well, I mean, we talk about all of the voters that we know, gun owners, evangelicals, many others, that don't vote because they think that their vote doesn't matter. Well, I have an answer as to why they don't think their vote matters. And because I was caught in that same ignorant loop when I was young, I didn't understand what the Electoral College was. You see, I believed that the Electoral College was actually people on the down ballot that we put in, our congressmen, our senators, our governors, senators and congressmen on the state level. I believed that that is what the Electoral College was because I didn't understand it. Eventually, I wanted to understand it. I believe it was right around the time George W. Bush was elected, that whole battle that took place over electors in Florida. And I decided to educate myself on exactly what the Electoral College was, and I found out it has nothing to do with the down ballot whatsoever, and that I had been wrong for all those years about what the Electoral College was. There's not enough education going on out there for voters to understand what the Electoral College is and how they work and how they benefit us.
Yeah, how it helps smaller states, smaller populated states. It's supposed to be. It's all about preventing mob rule, where you don't just get the millions of people that live in the New York cities and the San Franciscos and the LAs of the world to then, you know, make all the decisions based off of a popular vote. No good point. What did you want to say about the abortion topic too?
I have a real fear with this bill, the way that it's written. I read through it, and it kind of scares me in one way, and nobody's really talking about it. What that is it actually, the way that it's written, a mother who's, let's say she's 8 months along, could be sitting with one particular healthcare professional, and they say, oh, well, if your baby has to be born now, but if it's born now, it's going to have to go into an incubator. With this law, that doctor could say, we have to abort the baby because it's going to have to go into an incubator, and that's no quality of life for this baby, so we're going to have to abort the baby against your will. And now, I'm not saying that, you know, conspiratorially. I'm just saying there's no guardrails written in it that say that they can't force abortion.
Well, or pressure, or, well, we as your doctor highly recommend. Look, doctors have given bad recommendations to parents. Now, I'm not saying they all did it maliciously. Maybe they looked at what was in front of them and said, look, hey, here's the deal. Your baby's going to be born with this challenge, or your baby may not survive, or whatever. We recommend whatever. And how many parents said, you know what, I'm going to go against the doctor's recommendations. I'm going to ignore what they're claiming is going to happen after the birth of my baby, and I'm going to move forward anyway. And they ended up having a healthy baby. Or even if the baby wasn't healthy, they got that precious time with that baby before the baby had passed. But such a tough deal. Did you hear Jeff Laszloffy from the Montana Family Foundation on the show yesterday? It was later on in the 9 o'clock hour. You might have been busy, but he touched on that. Oh, you did? Okay, great. Yeah, he touched on that, but I think you're spelling it out too, which is that was one of the points he made, where is just how vaguely written this thing is, and how they could use any excuse under the sun to perform these late term abortions. So, Richard, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you as always. And hey, if any of you missed that conversation with Jeff Laszloffy, we did kind of a deep dive on CI 128 from his perspective, one of those ballot initiatives that will be on your ballot this November. Well, I say this November. You'll likely get your ballot in October, so it'll be on your ballot here in a little over a couple of weeks, right? 406-294-0970. Oh, yeah, but the Jeff Laszloffy audio on our Montana Talks podcast on the Montana Talks app, like every other hour of the show. It's from the Thursday 9 o'clock hour. Gary in Billings next up on the phone lines. Gary, what's going on today?
Hey, go on there, and thanks for taking my call. As you probably heard about that deputy sheriff shooting that judge in a court hearing, and it's very important to see what is happening in our country with these judges ruling from the bench, changing. And I lost my son way back. A judge took away my right to my child over a false claim. So these judges actually are controlling our lives. And how long does it take before more people now are under being shot?
Well, so just because a judge has a disagreement or has a ruling that you disagree with, obviously it wouldn't justify somebody going in and shooting the judge. That's not what you're suggesting here, right?
No, I'm just saying that this is because there's so many cases where these judges set up like they rule whether you're innocent or guilty, they treat you like dirt. And that's what happened to me way back when I was a young father.
Yeah, so, I don't know the circumstances of this case. I've heard that news story that I think I saw the latest in that story was that this sheriff had shot and killed this judge. And apparently they had a disagreement, they had an argument, so I don't know if this is some one-off situation. But, I mean, look at these attacks against Donald J. Trump. I mean, look at the rhetoric coming from Democrat members of Congress, even after this second assassination attempt on President Trump. They are still using this crazy rhetoric. In fact, here you go. This is from a Fox and Friends First report earlier this morning.
The House will vote today on a bill to give the same Secret Service protection to presidential candidates that is offered to sitting presidents. But while Republicans push for the bill to pass, Democrats keep going after Trump. Watch.
I wanted to know if you think it's time for Democrats to stop calling Trump a threat to democracy.
No, fact of the matter is that he is a threat to democracy.
No, I think we should be clear that he is a threat to democracy.
Do you think that the rhetoric, though, needs to be toned down?
I think his rhetoric should be toned down, absolutely.
Listen, these are the facts. He is a threat, period, point blank.
Yeah, there you go. That is several Democrat members of Congress doubling down on their own dangerous rhetoric, calling him the threat. Not his policies, but him. He's the threat. But it's just completely insane. And we've seen the same thing from the liberal media, by the way, and has flip-flopped, flat-topped this phony Democrat Senator John Tester. Has he ever apologized for his dangerous rhetoric? He was confronted earlier this week on Capitol Hill. He was given an opportunity to apologize for his own dangerous rhetoric. But, of course, he wouldn't even answer the question, and his staff members were hovering around him, blocking anybody who dares ask.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
She has now said she would never have a border wall. She would decriminalize illegal immigration. We have early voting going on. She's never been asked by it. The media has given her a complete pass because they're so abusively biased and corrupt. You know, there's been no discussion about all of the people that have been murdered by Harris Biden illegals, those that have been raped by Harris Biden illegals, other victims of violent crimes by Harris Biden illegals, and those people with terror ties. There are hundreds of them. And here we are, voting has begun, and there's no answers to any of these questions. And the media seems perfectly content allowing her to get a pass on all of this.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, this is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? I didn't think so. I know I sure don't. This is Linda, and when I worry about the national debt, I turn to safe haven assets like gold and silver. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, free gold, and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver before it's too late. That's what I did. Call 855-815-GOLD, 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Go check it out now. Just click over to crystalflesh.com.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, you heard Richard and Jordan and I talking about our conversation with Jeff Lasloffy from the Montana Family Foundation. We had him on. Actually, he ended up sticking around for the full hour yesterday. We did kind of this deep dive on CI 128 in the first half of the program. Then we kind of opened up the calls for, you know, any topics under the sun. And Jeff kept sidekicking with us, and more callers called in about that topic as well. Full audio on the Montana Talks podcast. Let's turn now to your weekly legislative update that we air every Friday at this time from the Montana Family Foundation.
This week, as I watched the events continue to unfold in the Middle East, my heart continued to break for a land and people that I've come to love. For years, my wife and I led tour groups to Israel, and not just any tours. I wanted our guests to understand the Holy Land from every possible angle, historically and theologically, yes, but also from an archaeological, geographical, technological, agricultural, military, and geopolitical perspective. I developed close friendships with Israeli Jews, Arab Israelis, Israeli Christians, and members of the Druze community, all of whom, although religiously diverse, live at peace with each other, just as their families have for generations. I have Arab-Israeli Muslim friends who attend the bar mitzvah celebrations of their Israeli-Jewish neighbors. I also know Muslims and Christians who serve alongside their Jewish counterparts in the Israeli military and who serve as full-fledged members of the Israeli parliament. 2 years ago, I had dinner with the Moroccan ambassador to Israel, who praised the Abraham Accords, which brought Israel and a Muslim nation to the point where every flight between Israel and Morocco are full of Israeli and Moroccan tourists and businessmen. These are the things that give me hope for the region, but that hope is tempered by the very real conflict between Israel and Iranian-sponsored proxies such as Hamas, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and others. All of these together form an existential threat to the Jewish state, and Israel's doing everything in its power to defend itself. They've learned over the centuries that if your enemy tells you he plans to destroy you, then take him at his word. With all that's going on in the Middle East and the possibility of a broader regional conflict, I admit it's scary. But a friend reminded me recently that the world is not falling apart, it's falling into place. As Christians, we're constantly reminded by God not to fear because He's in control. We also have biblical prophecies that describe in incredible detail the events leading up to the return of the Messiah. If you've never read the Old Testament, then it's time to start. Several years ago, at Joel Rosenberg's Epicenter Conference in Jerusalem, a former director of the CIA said that if you want to understand what's currently going on in the Middle East, then start by reading the books of Daniel, Ezekiel, and John's Revelation. I remember being stunned and wondering if biblical prophecy enters into the decision-making process in the upper echelons of the U.S. government. I guess it depends on who's in charge at any given point. The bottom line is that believers in Christ are not to fear. Ever since Israel became a nation again on May 14, 1948, after 2,000 years, events have been playing out exactly as foretold in both the Old and New Testaments. That should give us hope and peace in the midst of turmoil. If you believe, as I do, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and accurate down to the last detail, then the battles we're witnessing now are just skirmishes. Take heart. It's going to get a lot worse, but it's all leading up to the return of Jesus the Messiah, and that, my friends, is something we should all be looking forward to. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszlofsky for another great update, as always. By the way, we ended the 9 o'clock hour of the show yesterday talking about Israel briefly. There was this video of Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu. Somebody asked him, they said, are you James Bond? Are you James Bond? He said, no, not James Bond. Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu. It was a great video. I shared it. X.com/Aaron Flint. I'll share some new polling in the Western Congressional District, plus a great message from Tim in Billings on the Montana Talks app. That coming up for Freedom Friday.